This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, joins me as my colleague and co-pilot. And we're very pleased to bring on a good friend of ours for many years, Anatoly Zak, who keeps the Russian space web. Highly recommend following the number one space-faring country and operation in history, Roscosmos. Many changes, a lot of looking to the future. Anatoly's here to introduce us to the post-ISS Roscosmos. That means that the International Space Station, we've depended on all these years for joint activity of Russia and the United States, is going to be deorbited sometime in these next years. The date, it moves around. But the deorbiting, and SpaceX has the contract to do that, means that new space stations will be launched. There are four or five commercial proposals in the U.S., and the U.S. also has opportunity to build its own if it wants to. But Russia is building one, a new one, or plans to build a new one, on drawing up plans to build a new one. China is building a new one of all kinds in low Earth orbit. But there are going to be more to come. We believe that all the Lagrange points will be occupied over the next decades. We believe the moon will be occupied, perhaps moon orbit as well. We begin, however, with the Russian decision to build a new space station. Anatoly, a very good day to you. Thank you. As I understand it, the debate in Roscosmos, led by the new director of Roscosmos, his name is Bakunov, is whether the new space station will be in orbit at 51 degrees or an Arctic orbit. What's the difference? What are the advantages and disadvantages of both? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Yes, exactly. So the big choice which is Roscosmos right now has in front of them is essentially the orbit. And more precisely, it's a low orbit. It's a few hundred kilometers above the Earth's surface. But the critical parameter which they are choosing is inclination toward the equator. So imagine that if your orbit is like a plate around a globular spherical Earth, and if you match that plate to the equator, you're essentially flying over the equator and you see Africa and low latitude areas. But if you tilt that plate, you will start covering not just equatorial areas, but you start seeing more and more Earth surface going north and south. On one half of the orbit, north, and another half of the orbit, south, because, of course, the orbit is centered around the Earth. And more you tilt it, closer you get into the poles. This kind of technical issue is kind of became very political and very kind of historically important for Russia, because Russia is, of course, located very far, relatively far in latitude-wise to the north. So the orbit which the Russian space stations used before was only covering kind of southern sections of Russia, so cosmonauts could not be able to see, for example, Moscow even, because the 51.6 degree orbit is actually lower than northern latitudes of Russia, including Moscow, which is like in 60s in latitude. So the debate was going on for a very long time that the next space station should have been put into orbit very close to the polar. It's almost perpendicular to the equator. If you, again, imagine your plate, you turn it almost like 90 degrees, so it's like on vertical if you look at the globe. That was kind of already decided a couple of years ago by the Bakunov's predecessor, the Roscosmos head predecessor. But immediately that decision brought entire kind of string of other technical complications. First of all, if you tilt the orbit that much, you kind of in your northern sections of your orbit, you enter kind of radiation-prone environment, because the radiation belts which protect the Earth from radiation, they are not spread evenly at different latitudes. They actually kind of thinning, and they actually cease to exist at the polar areas. That's why we see the northern lights, so aurora borealis and all those phenomena. So so the space station has that issue when it's placed into the near polar orbit. It essentially becomes irradiated. It receives much more radiation than usual. Then there are other issues with the launch vehicles. The you lose essentially payload if you launch into orbit, which is near polar. Your cargo, which you can deliver into orbit, will be less than the orbit which you will be flying near the equator, because essentially a rotation of the Earth helps you with rocket's payload, because it's kind of pushes the rotation of the Earth actually kind of pushes the rocket in the right direction, and when you go in toward the poles, you're actually losing that energy. So that issue came up. And also there are some other problems, because when you launch north, you fly into orbit, you launch the crew, you fly into very kind of inhospitable terrain, Arctic and Arctic Ocean, so your recovery becomes also very complicated and expensive. So all these issues kind of came to the forefront, and now kind of Roscosmos has second thoughts what to do. Essentially, they kind of comparing all these technical issues and the cost associated with this versus this political importance of having the space station in a polar orbit.
They haven't made a decision yet? It's still pending?
They're debating it apparently as we speak. Okay. And possibly they're very close to the decision to go back to the orbit, which is very close to the International Space Station, and even use the International Space Station as a base for the new space station, exactly like the American commercial projects do. So that's the dilemma before them.
David, you have a question for Anatoly.
Yes, Anatoly. Given they still have the war going on and their economy is on a decline, may decline even more, how are they affording this? Where are they getting the money from? What are they sacrificing in terms of other programs for Russia? And are they still planning to reuse any of the ISS modules that they've talked about over the years?
Yes, so this is exactly the issues which they will have to resolve. So first of all, they have to look forward to their budget projections, and they see the worsening economy, of course, and that's one of the driving forces behind this debate. Because, of course, like I mentioned, the polar orbit will be more expensive, you deliver less cargo. So every time they weigh this against what they're projecting to get in terms of money, it's a very important consideration. So it will be cheaper, no question about it. It will be considerably cheaper to start the station at the ISS and fly into low inclination or 51-degree orbit, as they call it, because it's a 51-degree inclination toward the equator. So this will be, no question, much cheaper. But also there are other factors. Imagine the space station is a very kind of nebulous term, right? You can have a space station which includes two modules or three modules, or you can have a space station which will have six or seven modules. This is a big difference in price, right? So they might need right now to consider the worst-case scenario where they want to preserve the capability to have a destination for their cosmonauts, essentially to have a space program for humans to fly into space. In that case, they can kind of have plan A and plan B. If they have very difficult economic situations, they have, for example, minimal space station with only like two or three modules, which will be enough. This architecture will allow them to do. Or if their economic situation is better, they might have a more luxurious and more expensive and more multi-modular space station. So all these issues they have to consider. But for them, the kind of minimal configuration which they want to achieve needs to be right now cheap as possible, and kind of as technologically affordable and feasible, engineeringly feasible as possible.
Boosting the modules into orbit. If I interpret your site correctly, they're going to use the Angara. Is Angara operational yet?
Yes, Angara rocket is partially. It's essentially, again, with rocket technology, you have to be careful what you say is operational or not. So officially, it's in test flight mode. It's undergoing testing. It still needs a couple of flights to conclude this particular configuration of the rocket for which is needed for the human spaceflight, which is called Angara 5. It's a Model 5. So that one is flying. It made number of successful missions. In fact, this year it launched the first military payload into geostationary orbit. So it's apparently performed quite well. So the rocket is available, but there is, as always, of course, there is a little asterisk. They building a new launch pad in Vostochny, which is in a very far east on the Chinese border. That's a new launch pad which is built specifically for human spaceflight. That is not completed yet, but they will complete infrastructure required to handle the human missions. And they need some test flights to complete. Before you put a crew, you need to certify the spacecraft with the rocket. Entire package pretty much has to be tested in flight before you fly the crew. So all this is yet to be done. So it's quite a lot of work which needs to be done.
So the Angara is both for launching the modules and the station and launching the crew. They're going to use it for both?
Correct. Yes. So the way they structure the program now is if it goes in this kind of plan B or like the big form, right, the more expensive version,
right,
it will be the Angara launching the modules and the launching the crew vehicle and the cargo vehicles as well eventually. So they want to start with launching the cargo, for example, the cargo supplies, the station, and the expeditions will need cargo, food, propellant, everything on the Progress vehicle, which are right now used on the ISS. So they will use that. It's a smaller vehicle, less expensive, but they plan eventually to transition to Angara-launched cargo ships as well.
We're speaking with Anatoly Zak, who keeps the RussianSpaceWeb.com, a subscription site with drawings and specifications and history of Roscosmos. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.